Dan for leading us so far. And if you've got your Bible with you, if you can open up to Proverbs chapter 2. We'll be looking at the whole chapter this morning. If you need a Bible, there's still some on the counter in the foyer. And the reading's up on the screen as well. So we continue our series now in Proverbs. So it says, the moral benefits of wisdom. Starting at verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose way of life is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in wrongdoing and in doing wrong, and rejoice in the perversiveness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Amen. It's God's words, his inspired words, and we're going to look at that passage now, and we need to cry aloud, as it says here in verse 3, for understanding and insight. So let's do that with prayer now. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth, and Lord, we do pray for that insight, that understanding this morning. Lord, we pray that, as Ben prayed earlier, as we've been singing, that you are the one that gives wisdom to us. But Lord, we need to ask for it. We need to call out for it. We need to search for it as hidden treasure. And Lord, we do pray that we'll, as we look at this subject again of wisdom, of fearing the Lord, we will again look at Jesus, who showed us all of that, that he himself is wisdom. And Lord, we pray that we'll be transformed and molded to look more like that today. We, again, as Dan prayed, we pray for the children in their classes, that they would call out, they would cry out for wisdom, and as a result, they would cry out and call out for Jesus Christ himself. Lord, we pray that you would be mighty to save this morning, from the youngest here to the oldest, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So there should be a PowerPoint that comes up with this as well. And just as we start, a couple of years ago, we did our first Life Explored series. So Life Explored is very similar to Christianity Explored, and we've recently been doing Discipleship Explored. And with Life Explored, a little bit different to the others, it starts off with a bit of a quirky, bit of an arty video to introduce the subject. And in the third session, perhaps there's a couple here that came along to Life Explored, and you remember, we were introduced to a man who looks like he lives in a tent by the side of the river. And the reason being, he spends all day, every day, looking for gold. And he thinks he finds something, you see, in this video, and he inspects it carefully and realizes it's nothing, and he throws it to the side. And we see that process over and over. He cooks by the river, he eats by the river, he sleeps there, and we see this process going on day after day. And one day, he finds something. He picks it up, he studies it carefully, and it looks legitimate. He starts breathing heavier in anxiety and in excitement. And then there's this sigh of relief. He knows he's found something of massive value. And he sets out down this river to cash in his fortune of gold. And after days and nights of clinging to that stone, as he travels, as he carefully kind of navigates his way down this river through all the rapids and everything, suddenly the boat capsizes. And he's eventually separated from all his belongings, and that's including the gold. He watches it slip away and then actually go off this edge of this huge waterfall. Everything's destroyed, it's now lost, it can't be recovered. And the short film, ends with him just tirelessly diving down to the depths to trying to receive this one thing, trying to retrieve this one thing that meant more to him than anything else. It's quite sad, but it's a story, it's not real life. But you think, well, people don't really do this today in terms of the searching for the gold like that and silver. But actually there's an opal mine. It's little stones in Australia, and it's called Coober Pedy, which you can't actually say that without an Australian accent, can you? Coober Pedy. Anyway, and it's a tourist attraction, and you can go there, you can buy a permit for about $40, which actually lasts all year. And you can search for your own opals. When I say opal, I don't mean the Vauxhall cars that we have here either. But there was one man here in Coober Pedy that went just for a day. And he found this opal, and it turned out it was worth about $7 million. The tourist next to him, he saw it, he was just there for the day. The tourist next to him saw that, and he spent the next 40 years looking for likewise, and he's never really found anything similar. But we read in our text in Proverbs here, if you look down at verse 4, and if you search for it as silver, as you search for it as hidden treasure, we're told to look for something likewise of supreme value. What is it we're meant to be looking for silver, for gold, for an opal? Those things, as I said, aren't really done today, but I'm sure there is something. There is that one thing that you strive to find, something that you put massive amount of time and energy into. Happiness, wealth. Well, Proverbs tells us that we should search diligently, we should search intently, wholeheartedly, energetically, not for wealth, not for gold or silver, but for wisdom. That's what we've been singing about in that Walking with the Wise CD, isn't it? There's something that can never be destroyed. It's worth more than jewels or gold or anything money can buy. Wisdom. I'm no surprise at the title for the sermon, as you can see, wisdom, seek it like silver, like we see there in verse 4. And with the text here, what we'll see towards the end, actually, we hear two voices throughout this time. And actually, there's always two voices that are kind of competing in that sense. Proverbs 2 here tells us that actually who we choose to listen to each morning, who we choose to listen to throughout the day, late at night, who we choose to listen to will determine actually who we live for. It will determine how we fight sin throughout the day. It will determine actually where our ultimate eternity lies. So the purpose of this chapter is actually to urge those who have never, ever looked for God's wisdom to start today. And to encourage those of us who have begun that search for God's wisdom to press on in that journey. Don't give up. So it's for every single person here this morning. We have 3 points. As I said earlier, there's two voices here, and the first voice we hear is from God and his words, and he's speaking in a sense as a father. If you look down at verse 1, point 1 is actually the search for wisdom, verses 1 to 4 that we'll be looking at. And the passage that we looked at last week in Proverbs 1, verses 20 to the end of the chapter, it was a rather sobering passage, if you remember, and it gave us warnings of not having wisdom, not following wisdom. And this week it is far more encouraging, but it's no less of a challenge in that sense. Last week the challenge to have wisdom was in the open air. If you look down at verse 20, out in the open wisdom calls aloud. And now in chapter 2, you see in verse 1, this is in a sense a more private scene. It's like of a father speaking to their child. Verse 1, my son, if you accept my words. And we say the word, if you accept my words. If you look down at verses 1 to 4, we see the word if three times. But actually, it's implied in these four verses eight times. In just these four verses, if you look down at verses 1-4, it could be read like this: "My son, if you accept my words, and if you store up my commands within you, if you turn your ear to wisdom, and if you apply your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight, and if you cry aloud for understanding, and if you search for it as silver, and search for it, and if you search for it as hidden treasure, if. So eight times throughout this four verses, and it's a huge emphasis on the searching diligently for wisdom. And we've seen in previous weeks with Tim preaching, parents are to pass their wisdom on to children. Children are to be humble enough in that sense to accept that wisdom. All of us here are to seek and search out in the church family those who are wise and learn from their wisdom. But in this passage, it seems to be that wisdom is found in God, and God's wisdom is to be found in his words. Again, we sing of that Walking with the Wise song, W-I-S-D-O-M. I struggle with that song because I'm dyslexic, but anyway. But it says, in your word, I find it. And that's true. In our second point, what we'll get onto later, we see that wisdom is a gift, but God does not give it unless we seek it. That's what's in mind here. Remember the context of all of this, the context of all of Proverbs is chapter 1, verse 7, where we see, chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's what's in mind here. Again, it's that's said again in chapter 2, verse 5, this fear of the Lord. That if we fear the Lord this morning, that's a game changer. That changes everything. That changes our worldview. It changes our life. And actually, if you do not fear the Lord this morning, again, if you look down at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, actually, if you do not fear the Lord this morning, you're what Proverbs calls a fool. And actually, despite how Christianity is viewed today, it's actually those who do not trust God who are out of touch with reality. Because if you do not fear the Lord, if you do not trust God, you're out of touch with reality because you're trying to live in God's world without God. So in order not to be a fool in our search for wisdom, verses 1-4 teach us these five things that we're going to look at now. It teaches us A, to receive it, B, to retain it, C, to turn to it, D, to pray over it, E, to value it. So we're going to just quickly look through these. And by the way, this point is by far the longest, so don't worry about that. But A, we're to receive this wisdom. Look down at the first part of verse 1. My son, if you accept my words. In a sense here, what we need to do is put ourselves in a position where we understand, we know, actually without God, we're not wise. We need to learn from God. We need to learn from his words. We need to put ourselves in that humble position to learn. We need to receive wisdom. B, we need to retain wisdom. You see that second part of verse 1. Store up my commands within you. And the word store there is actually the word to treasure. So to treasure my commands within you. And treasure here kind of has the idea of hiding something of great value. So it's protected. This wisdom we are to treasure because it really is worth more than jewels or gold or anything money can buy. That actually, this is saying that if you really understand what you hold in your hands now, that if you really understand God's word is God's words, then you'll treasure it. You'll see it as more valuable than anything else. We need to retain wisdom. See, we need to turn to wisdom. Verse 2, it says, turn your ear to wisdom and apply your hearts to understanding. Again, the word turn there. It's too weak a word. It means to wholeheartedly be involved in something, to bend our entire being purposefully in a certain direction. And when it says apply your hearts to understanding, we're not talking about our heart as an organ, our heart as the center of who we are. So the picture here is that we should stretch out our entire being, everything we have, to God in his words. So what we've looked at in points A to C there, in the sense, what we've looked at points A to C there is that if we're to function wisely in God's world, then it requires knowing who we are, what we should value, and who we should listen to. In Mark chapter 4, verse 24, it says, take care what you listen to. Take care of what you listen to. And we go on to D, and we need to pray over wisdom as well. Verse 3, call out for insights and cry aloud for understanding. Now, wisdom, as we said, only comes to those who seek it. And we saw last week, Proverbs 1, verse 20, that wisdom calls aloud. But we also must call out to God for wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. We need to ask for wisdom. We need to cry out for it, plead to God for it. When God said that he would give Solomon anything that he wanted, Solomon asked for wisdom, because he knows that God is that true source of wisdom, the only source for wisdom. And we're told that God said to Solomon then in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, since this is your heart's desire, you've not asked for wealth or possessions or honor, nor the death of your enemies, since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king. Therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be given to you. God is that true source of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and therefore we need to call out to God, to plead with God for this wisdom. And lastly, E, in these points, verse 4, we need to value it, look for it as silver, and search for it as hidden treasure. Like that man that we mentioned at the beginning, searching for gold, looking for gold. Are you looking for wisdom as you would look for silver or something else of huge value? And we see this wisdom is like hidden treasure. It's valuable, it's treasure, but it's hidden. It's hidden in the sense from public view, that actually what it's saying is you will not see this wisdom every day. It's not common. When you find it, though, it's valuable. It's like tirelessly digging with your hands to get it. And looking at these four verses, it makes us ask, doesn't it? What do you then give your energy to? Where do you give most your time? What's the voice that you want to hear most? Where's the first place in the morning that you go to listen when you wake up? Is it to God and his wisdom in his word? And what we've seen in these first four verses goes way beyond just opening up our Bibles in the morning and randomly reading. Notice here, this verse 1, this father doesn't simply encourage his son just to read the Bible, but to listen, to cry out, to search, tirelessly dig, to wrap your heart around these words. And is that what your daily reading looks like? Wrapping your heart around the words, tirelessly digging, crying out, searching, seeking it like silver. That's the search for wisdom. And as I said, that's the longest point. But as we go to point two, we see the gift of wisdom. That if you find wisdom, we then see the gift of wisdom, verses 5 to 11. So the first four verses about the search for wisdom, we saw the repeated word of if. Now as we go on, we see the repeated word of then. So with the search of wisdom, if you do this, if you do that, then you find wisdom. Then you see the results of wisdom, verses 5 to 11. And the obvious outcome, as we've mentioned before, verse 5, if you have wisdom, you'll fear the Lord. You'll have knowledge of God. And as you see from these verses, the reason why that when you seek wisdom, you automatically find God is because God is the only one who gives out wisdom. Wisdom is a gift. We must search for it, as we looked at on our last point, but no amount of human effort or energy can acquire or obtain it. It's a gift from God. And God's the sole source of wisdom, and he gives it through his mouth. Verse 6, we read, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And that's as Dan quoted earlier in the New Testament. And we then read 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed. We get this knowledge of wisdom through his mouth, through his words. And if you look at verses 7 and 8, we read, he holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose way of life is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. If you have wisdom, we must protect it, because everything in the world is threatening us to lose it. But what we read in verses 7 and 8 is God also promises to guard us. He's our shield. He's our strength. There's no safety for the fool, but there's safety in the faithful God. The wisdom God gives you, the gift of wisdom, is this promise of finding God. That's what we see in verses 5 to 8. But another gift of wisdom is finding and living the right way. That's what we read in verses 9 to 11. In a sense, it's telling us that once you know God, in a sense, other things will fall into place. And what we mean by this is, if we read Mark chapter 7, verse 21, it says, it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. And what we're being told is, despite the thought that people are generally speaking quite good, actually what we're being told is at the core of our being, we're rotten. We can't be relied upon to know what is right and just. So therefore, what we're being told here is God's word informs us, it transforms us. So then, verses 9 to 11, then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to you. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. And throughout this 5 to 11, throughout the passage, we're told about this knowledge and understanding. It's mentioned many times throughout the text. And we need to understand what this Hebrew word for knowledge is like. The Hebrew word for knowledge is far more than just mere information or details or just knowing about a certain subject. That this morning you know perhaps a lot of information. Perhaps you know a lot about Welsh history. Perhaps you know a lot of information about how your car works. But the Hebrew word for knowledge here is different. We read many times throughout Scripture just phrases like what we read in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. It says, Adam knew his wife, Eve. We know what it's talking about there. And it reflects there the intimate nature of knowledge. The word knowledge here means to be intimately involved with something. And that is what the knowledge of God is. In a sense, what we're saying is maybe you this morning are a completely different person now for having known God. At the men's meal on Monday, we heard how Dan is a completely different man now to what he used to be for having known Christ. Not because he knew bits of his Bible, not because he knew bits of information about God. No, it's not because he knew information about Christ, it's because he knows Christ. I'm sure it's the same with what you heard from Bethan at the ladies' meal on Thursday. And in that sense, do you this morning, personally, relationally, from the heart, do you know God? Not just information about him. And that's what wisdom gives you. This fearing the Lord, this knowing God, so gaining this wisdom must be and only ever be based on who God is in his words and not on our personal whim. I remember a few Christmases ago when I was down south, and someone said to me, I worship God, I follow God, but I do it in my way, I worship him in my way. I was just thinking and saying, well, I worship God too, but I do it in his way. It can't be based on our own personal whim of who we think God is, but who God says he is. Verses 5 to 11, it tells us that the gift of wisdom is the promise of living and finding the right way to live. And it's also the promise of finding and knowing God. So do you know God this morning? Augustine famously said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until it finds its rest in you." It's another way of saying that actually there's a God-shaped hole at the very center of our lives. We try and fill it with other things, but nothing can fill that hole. Nothing can fill that vacuum except Jesus. So do you know this God this morning? And lastly, third point, we see the protection of wisdom, verses 12 to 22. This protection of wisdom, we see the verses 12 to 15, the protection from the ways of wicked men, those who walk in dark ways, those who delight in wrong, rejoice in evil. That's scary, isn't it? Those who rejoice in evil. I mean, does the world sometimes frighten you in that sense? Not just because of what we see perhaps going on politically, but everything else. The evil that we see. The dark ways that we see. Well, verse 12, it says that actually it's wisdom that saves you from being like that. You see, wisdom protects against paths which lead to bad company, which leads to evil ways. We're told one of my favorite verses in Scripture, Proverbs 3, verse 6, says, "In all your ways submit to him, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight." But what we read in verse 13 here, there are those who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways. Verses 13 and 14, we're told about those who delight in darkness, rejoice in evil. Just to turn that around quickly, I mean, praise God, he's created us with the capacity for joy and happiness. You know, sometimes when we think of, I don't know, holy people, they're very serious and very strict. That's not holiness. God's created us with the capacity for joy and holiness, to enjoy him. We said earlier, the heavens declare the glory of God. We can enjoy that. But what we read in verses 13 and 15, there are those who distort this intention for joy and happiness by finding it in the wrong people and the wrong places. And perhaps and wisdom protects you from this bad company. And maybe you know yourself that actually when you're watching that certain TV program, when you're spending time with those certain friends, that actually you know it doesn't take you long to find funny what God would find heartbreaking. Maybe there's that certain, whether it's in that certain company or by yourself, there's that certain sin that you think you're in control of it. You think, oh, I can stop that when I want, actually. I'm in control of that. Well, actually, a story that Jeff Thomas told me, I think I've used this illustration with the youth as well, but it's a story about a circus act and with a snake and a snake charmer. And this act is that this snake kind of comes out, this basket wraps around this snake charmer and kind of looks at him in the face. And kind of everyone in the audience gets terrified, and then suddenly, simple command, the snake kind of goes back down and into the basket again. And night after night, the act does this, everyone gets terrified of what might happen next. This snake constricts and stricts, and he gives the command, and the snake just goes back down into the basket. One night, again, same as normal, the snake came up, wrapped around and started closing in. He gave the command, and the snake doesn't listen. He starts going red in the face and constricts and constricts, and the snake kills him. And in a sense, that's sin. We might think we're in control, but it's got its grip. And if we let it tighten and tighten its grip on us, if we don't see the consequences, it leads to death, in that sense of spiritual death, away from God, away from the life he gives. As John Owen, the theologian, said, "Be killing sin, or sin will be killing you." And the true wisdom keeps and protects from this evil. But there's another protection that we see also in verses 16 to 19. We mentioned at the start perhaps it seems a while ago now, but we mentioned at the start there's two voices that we hear throughout this. We've been hearing God's voice, in a sense, this Father's voice. But there is a second voice here. And as we're introduced to this adulterous, forbidden woman, look down at verse 16. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. And as we're introduced to this adulterous woman, this isn't just about adultery, it isn't just about sexual immorality. In a sense, this woman symbolizes for us the world and all its subtle efforts. It looks like perhaps innocent efforts to seduce us carefully from the truth of God's words. And in Proverbs, throughout the whole of Proverbs, it mentions this forbidden woman about five times. And four of those times, it explicitly tells us how she will destroy. That's with words. It's with words. TV, films, pictures, adverts, definitely social media. They speak words to us, don't they? They hold these empty promises that we just often fall into. And as we kind of start summing up, ask yourself, whose words then fill your head? Because in moments of temptation, two voices are competing for your heart. And what we see here in verses 16 to 19, one voice is seductive, but it's also destructive. One voice is sovereign, reliable, and safe. One voice lures you onto the path of death. The other voice places you firmly on the path of life. And look at the contrast between these two paths here. We read in our passage, Proverbs 2, verses 18 and 19, surely her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the path of life. Yet we read about the other path in Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I know what path I would rather. So what words fill your heads? And as we've been looking at it, it's in God's word we find this wisdom. Let his voice fill your heart. Not just in a church once a week, that's not enough. Not just once a day, but in every moment of every day. Let his voice fill your heart. As we read earlier, Hannah read for us Psalm 119. The whole of Psalm 119 is really helpful in this area, but we didn't exactly have time to read the whole chapter. But go away, read it this week. And we read in verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your words. That's just not for young men, that's for every single one of us here. Remember, we're to wrap our hearts around these words of wisdom, tirelessly dig, cry out, search for it like silver. Proverbs 2, here, it's teaching every single one of us to open up our Bibles, to open them up days, weeks, months, even years before temptation and sin come our way. And remember, we read God's word. It's living. It's active. It's sharp. And are you crying out for it this morning? Do you hear his voice every day? What's the first thing you hear in the morning? Is his voice the first thing you hear in the morning? Or is that getting all drowned out by your phone, the TV, what your friends think of you? Hearing God's voice in his word requires more from us than any other kind of reading. It requires all of us. Reading the Bible engages, it requires you to be engaged in every single part of you. Because when you fight sin tomorrow, when you stand in your workplace, your home, your school tomorrow, you won't be able to do it simply by information. In that sense, all of us here today need surgery. We need God's word to pierce our hearts, to shape us, to mold us. So therefore, as verses 1 to 4 told us, in our search for wisdom, receive it, retain it, turn to it, pray over it, value it, seek it like silver. And I'll finish now just with the words of Joshua 14 and 15, which says about this fear of the Lord, Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped. Choose for yourself this day who you will serve. And I'll add to that. Choose to yourself this day who you will listen to. Amen. We're going to sing, and then Dave will